Hello, and welcome to The Essential Reads. My name is Isaac, and my goal is to bring to you a bunch of classic audiobooks in an easy and accessible way. This is a Friday, so of course I am bringing you a short story, and we are continuing with The Island of Dr. Moreau by H.G. Wells. If you want to support the show and you like the things that I do here, you can do all the YouTube-y or podcast-y things, or if you really feel special and you want to support me in a more concrete way, you can go to the Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you will have access to exclusive audiobooks and all of these chapters that you'll find on podcast and YouTube 1 week early. Now, without further ado, let's begin. The Island of Dr. Moreau by H.G. Wells. Chapter 8. The Crying of the Puma. Montgomery interrupted my tangle of mystification and suspicion about 1 o'clock, and his grotesque attendant followed him with a tray bearing bread, some herbs and other eatables, a flask of whiskey, a jug of water, and 3 glasses and knives. I glanced, arxent, at this strange creature, and found him watching me with his queer, restless eye. Montgomery said that he would lunch with me, but Moreau was too preoccupied with some other work to come. "Moreau," said I. "I know that name." "The devil you do," said he, "and what an ath I was to mention it to you. I might have thought. Anyhow, it will give you an inkling of our mysteries. Whiskey?" No, thanks. I'm an abstainer." I wish I'd been. With no youth locking the door after the steed is stolen. Yeah, with that infernal stuff which led to my coming here. That and a foggy night. I thought myself in luck at the time when Moreau offered to get me off. It's queer." "Montgomery," said I suddenly as the outer door closed, "why has your man got pointed ears?"
"Damn!"
he said, over fistfuls of food. He stared at me for a moment, and then repeated,
"Pointed ear?"
"Little points to them," said I, as calmly as possible, with a catch in my breath, "and fine black fur at the edges." He helped himself to whiskey and water with great deliberation.
"I was under the impression that his hair covered his ears.
And I saw them as he stooped by me to put that coffee you sent to me on the table. And his eyes shine in the dark." By this time, Montgomery had recovered from the surprise of my question.
"I always thought," he said deliberately, with a certain extenuation of his flavouring of lisp, "that there was something the matter with his ears, from the way he covered them."
I was persuaded from his manner that this ignorance was a pretense. Still, I could hardly tell the man that I thought him a liar. "Pointed," I said. "Rather small and furry. Distinctly furry. But the whole man is one of the strangest beings I ever set eyes on." A sharp, hoarse cry of animal pain came from the enclosure behind us. Its depth and volume testified to the puma. I saw Montgomery wince.
"Yes?"
he said. "Where did you pick up the creature?"
"San Francisco. He's an ugly brute, I admit. Half-witted, you know. I can't remember where he came from. But I'm used to him, you know. We both are. How did he strike you?"
"He's unnatural," I said. "There's something about him. Don't think me fanciful, but it gives me a nasty little sensation. A tightening of my muscles when he comes near me. It's a touch of the diabolical, in fact."
Montgomery had stopped eating while I told him this. "Rum," he said. "I can't see it."
He resumed his meal.
"I had no idea of it," he said, and masticated. "The crew of the schooner must have felt the same. Made a dead set at the poor devil. You saw the captain. Suddenly, the puma howled again. This time, more painfully. Montgomery swore under his breath. I had half a mind to attack him about the men on the beach. Then the poor brute within gave vent to a series of short, sharp cries. "Your men on the beach," said I. "What race are they?" "Excellent fellows, aren't they?" said he, absent-mindedly knitting his brows as the animal yelled out sharply. I said no more. There was another outcry, worse than the former. He looked at me with his dull grey eyes, and then took some more whiskey. He tried to draw me into a discussion about alcohol, professing to have saved my life with it. He seemed anxious to lay stress on the fact that I owed my life to him. I answered him distractedly. Presently, our meal came to an end. The misshapen monster with the pointed ears cleared the remains away, and Montgomery left me alone in the room again. All the time, he had been in a state of ill-concealed irritation at the noise of the vivisected puma. He had spoken of his odd want of nerve, and left me to the obvious application. I found myself that the cries were singularly irritating, and they grew in depth and intensity as the afternoon wore on. They were painful at first, but their constant resurgence at last altogether upset my balance. I flung aside a crib of Horace that I had been reading, and began to clench my fists, to bite my lip, and to pace the room. Presently, I got to stopping my ears with my fingers. The emotional appeal of those yells grew upon me steadily, grew, at last, to such an exquisite expression of suffering that I could stand it in that confined room no longer. I stepped out of the door into the slumberous heat of the late afternoon, and, walking past the main entrance, locked again, I noticed, turned to the corner of the wall. The crying sounded even louder out of doors. It was as if all the pain in the world had found a voice. Yet had I known that such pain were in the next room, and had it been dumb, I believe, I have thought since, I could have stood it well enough. It is when suffering finds a voice and sets our nerves quivering that its pity comes troubling us. But, in spite of the brilliant sunlight and the green fans of trees waving in the soothing sea breeze, the world was confusion, blurred with drifting black and red phantasms until I was out of earshot of the house in the checkered wall. Thank you so very much for listening. If you enjoyed, please like, comment, share, all that jazz, and if you really enjoyed, do subscribe because there is more to come. If you're listening on podcasts, please feel free to share and leave a review, and if you want to support the show in a more concrete way, you can go to the Patreon. You'll find the links in the bio, or you can click up here on the YouTube video, and normally you shall be taken to the Patreon, where for as little as €1, $1 a month, you will have access to exclusive audiobooks and all of these chapters 1 week early. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and until next time, bye-bye.